Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Grace and Truth.
FBI agents and Joint Terrorism Task Force officers in Minnesota and California arrested six men as part of a 10-month investigation into terror recruitment in Minnesota.
That's the voice of Anthony Lugar, a U.S. attorney in the Twin Cities area, speaking about this past Sunday's arrests of six people, four in Minnesota, two down in the San Diego area, on charges of trying to go overseas to join ISIS as terrorists. I'm Paul Perreault, and this is Grace and Truth with Dr. Craig Von Busick, who joins me right now. Well, how are you doing today, Craig?
Wow, following quite a week of activity with regard to ISIS, and then later on we're going to be speaking about Russia starting to flex its military muscles, and it's been an interesting week.
It really has. Let's start off with the talk about ISIS, though, because it has been a busy week for them.
It surely has, and as you played in the clip there from U.S. Attorney Andrew Lugar, there have been six young men between the ages of 19 and 21 who were part of this plot, and they had actually plotted for 10 months to go and become fighters with ISIS in the Middle East. This is what Lugar went on to say. We have a terror recruiting problem in Minnesota, and this case demonstrates how difficult it is to put an end to recruiting here. These are focused men who are intent on joining a terrorist organization by any means possible. And as we pointed out earlier, two of the suspects made it to California, where they were arrested in San Diego, and they're also facing terrorism charges. And, you know, these are quite the charges. And we have some other clips from Attorney Andrew Lugar. Why don't you go ahead and play those?
Okay, here, this was from a press conference he had the day after, this past Monday, the day after the arrests.
All six are Minnesotans charged by criminal complaint with conspiring and attempting to provide material support to ISIL. This group is committed to joining ISIL by any means possible. Some members of their group have succeeded, but many have been stopped by law enforcement. Nothing stopped these defendants from pursuing their goal. They never stopped plotting another way to get to Syria to join ISIL. They were not confused young men. They were not easily influenced. These are focused men who are intent on joining a terrorist organization.
The last few days, these men who were brought to court were basically not allowed to post bail. They're going to be detained because they are considered flight risks. So at least the ones that were arrested in Minnesota hadn't heard about the ones in California. Now, Craig, as busy as this sounds, ISIS has been doing a lot this week, it seems.
Oh, absolutely. Not only here in the United States, but all around the world. Just focusing on the United States again, before we look at some other things, one of the things that was raised in the last week was a rumor that ISIS had formed a training camp in Mexico near the United States border. Now, this was reported by Judicial Watch last week, and they cited an unnamed Mexican Army officer and a Mexican police inspector who identified the locations of two bases, raising new fears that the fight with ISIS is closer to the U.S. than previously thought. But the U.S. State Department is now denying that these bases exist, and they said that they have done an exhaustive search and that, along with the Mexican officials in both countries, have determined the claim to be unfounded. The question becomes, are they gone, or did they just see the same news report that was released by Judicial Watch and they moved their camp? This is there have been other hearsay reports of these type of activities happening there, and so it does raise great concern, especially now with so many potential terrorists that are leaving the United States to go fight with ISIL. Authorities say that dozens of young Somali men have traveled from Minnesota to join the terrorist groups in Somalia and Syria. So these terrorists are among us, and they are, as Attorney Andrew Lugar said, these are not just people who are kind of dazed and confused. These are people who are true believers, and they're willing to put their lives on the line. Some of the other things that are happening around the world, and boy, oh boy, what a week. This was this came out this week that France arrested a terror suspect after he apparently shot himself by accident. This is a 24-year-old Algerian native, and he was planning an attack on one or more French churches, and in the midst of the planning, the gun went off and he shot himself, and which was actually a fortunate thing, because when they went to his home, they found a huge arsenal of weapons and ammunition, and then they found a blood trail leading to his car, which was loaded with rifles, bulletproof vests, potential targets written down on paper, and then they were able to connect this suspect to the murder of a 32-year-old French woman who was visiting Paris for a training session for her work, and she was found shot to death Sunday morning in her car. So this man was a murderer who was planning mass murder there in Paris, and he was a ISIS-related terrorist. Moving on, USA Today reports that an Al-Qaeda cell had planned a suicide attack on the Vatican. On Friday, the Italian state police arrested 18 suspected extremists in an Al-Qaeda-linked terror cell based out of the Italian island of Sardinia. And these raids were carried out across Italy, and arrest warrants were issued for 18 suspected Islamic extremists. And they were able to uncover this plot after they worked on it for nearly a year. Mario Carta, an official from the counterterror police force that carried out the raids, called it one of the most important operations ever carried out in Italy. And this was an extremely well-structured terror network. They had planned on killing former Pope Benedict years ago, but that plot fell apart, and now they resurged. But again, they were arrested by the police in Italy. That could have been a major, major attack. Then in Europe, there is a massive migration that has been happening across the Mediterranean of people from Africa trying to move up into Italy. And we saw this week terrible tragedy where a boat capsized and it carried people to their death down into the Mediterranean Sea. There were about 850 people aboard this very small fishing vessel. I don't even know how they fit all these people on. They said that it was only a 20-meter boat. Many of them were Muslims, others were Christians, but the boat capsized and went to the bottom, and the EU is charging the captain of the ship, saying that he was negligent in those deaths. But this just points out that there have been more than 1,300 migrants who have died in boats going down in the Mediterranean just over the last 3 weeks. 1,300 migrants that have died. And in the midst of all that, there's not just Muslims who are making their way into Europe, but also Christians. And the Italian police said last week that 15 African Muslim migrants were arrested after witnesses said that they threw 12 Christians into the Mediterranean off of one of these ships, killed them. And there were several other Christians who were on board. They created a human chain, and that was the only way that they kept from also being thrown into the Mediterranean Sea by these radical Muslims. And then finally, another tragedy in Libya, where on Sunday a video surfaced revealing that 30 people who appeared to have been shot or beheaded by mass militants in Libya, and most of them, if not all of them, were from Ethiopia and were once again, just like the Egyptian Coptics a couple months ago, these Ethiopians were Christians who had been set apart from the other Muslims, and they were murdered, martyred for their faith. So ISIS is on the loose, ISIS is on the move, Al-Qaeda is on the move, and we need to be praying.
Definitely. You know, that was just this week or the last couple of weeks. That is a long list of things, and the fact that a lot of people aren't putting them together and seeing a bigger picture, a bigger prayer need, is amazing to me.
Yes, and it's disturbing also when you look at, for example, this is the 100th anniversary this week of the Armenian killing Holocaust by the Turks, and President Obama has refused to call it a Holocaust, even though several other countries, including Germany, ironically, have called it a Holocaust. Germany has recognized what they did during World War II to the Jews and others was a Holocaust. But our president, for some strange reason, and it's just kind of boggles the mind, is refusing to call this a Holocaust. He's refusing to point out the terrorist threats that are happening around the world. He's refusing to lead, and it is very troubling. And what it does is that when people who do evil, people who are bent on killing for the sake of religion, when they see that the United States is turning a blind eye or is not confronting or is being weak, well, that gives them courage to move forward. And that's exactly what they're doing, and that's exactly what we're seeing.
Well, definitely something to keep in prayer, because we strongly believe this is not going to stop here unless God were to somehow quickly intervene, that is, which is something we are going to be praying about later in the show. We'll be back in just a few moments here on Grace and Truth with Dr. Craig von Busick. Thanks for joining us.
War.
The U.S. and its allies stepping up the fight against ISIS.
Crime. Unrest. Epidemics.
An individual has been diagnosed with Ebola in the United States.
When you watch the news, do you shake your head in despair, or do you bow your head in prayer? In the book Praying the News, journalist Craig von Busick and Wendy Griffith invite you to see watching the news as an opportunity to go to prayer with confidence that God is at work, and not as a time to give in to fear and despair. Bad news is no match for the good news of God's kingdom. Praying the News by Craig von Busick and Wendy Griffith, published by Revell. More information on Praying the News and other books by Craig von Busick can be found on the Grace and Truth page at myfaithradio.com.
U.S. paratroopers have arrived in Lviv to train several hundred fighters from Ukraine's National Guard. U.S. forces previously said training would focus on artillery tactics and the establishment of secure lines of communication between frontline forces. America has so far refused to provide Ukraine with weapons, despite the passing of the Ukraine Freedom Support Act by the U.S. Congress in late 2014, which opened the way for the delivery of arms to Ukraine. The White House has limited its material support to non-lethal aid, whilst threatening to impose tighter economic sanctions against Russia if the latest Minsk ceasefire deal is broken by militant forces.
British News report there talking about U.S. troops in Ukraine offering training. Hi, I'm Paul Perreault, and this is Grace and Truth with Dr. Craig von Busick. And we're talking about ISIS in the last segment, and they have been busy. Well, it turns out so have the Russians. And Craig, it's been interesting. Remember a couple of years ago with the presidential elections, during one of the debates, they asked Mitt Romney, what is one of the biggest concerns that the U.S. should have? And he brought up Russia, to which the response was, the 80s have called, they want their foreign policy back. It was kind of dismissed. Russia's not an issue. Well, they've become a big one.
They absolutely have. And what has happened is that Vladimir Putin, who's the head of the Russian government, he was raised up in the Soviet Union. He was part of the KGB, and he has carried a lot of that mentality over into his leadership of that major, major power. One of the things that people need to understand about Russia is, even though they went through a difficulty as they were rebuilding after the fall of the Soviet Union, Russia has tremendous natural resources. And because of that, they will always be a major power to be reckoned with in the world. And so what has happened is that as countries like Ukraine and Poland and the Balkans have turned toward the West for their influence, Russia is concerned both economically but also militarily with whether or not the U.S. will cause a problem for them. Now, economically, if they lose Ukraine as a trading partner, that's huge. If they lose Poland, which they've already lost a lot of the influence in Poland, that has also affected their economy. But the big issue, and what really started all of this, was when last year President Putin ordered his troops to take back the section of the sovereign nation of Ukraine called the Crimea. And that would be as though the Prime Minister of Canada asked for his troops to take back Florida from the United States. But what had happened is that during the time of the Soviet Union, one of their philosophies was to take their people and transport them into the nations that they conquered. So they planted Russian people in Poland. They planted Russian people in the Balkans. They planted Russian people in the Muslim states there to the south of Russia. And they planted them in the Crimea. So the big argument from Putin was, well, our people are there, and they're Russian people, and they've got Russian culture, and they're calling for us to take over. Well, they're there because the Soviet Union put them there. That was never their country. It isn't their country now. And so when they made that move, the United States, in one area where I agree with President Obama's leadership, they forced major sanctions against Russia that have hurt Russia. And the whole idea is to show them that the free nations of the world will not put up with this 19th and 20th century concept of, if I want a country, I just take it militarily, which goes against all of the conventions of warfare. It goes against all the conventions of the United Nations. But what's happening here is that now you have other Russian people of Russian ancestry in Ukraine who want Russia to come in and take that part of Ukraine, and Ukraine is fighting against it. And the United States this week sent troops to help train these Ukrainian soldiers on how to fight the Russians. So it's, boy, it's so much like what I remember growing up in the Cold War, where, you know, you had the Soviet Union having their puppet governments and their puppet nations, and the United States having their what they would call puppet nations, but what we would call nations that were supporting in freedom, and they're fighting each other, and yet these superpowers are funding them. The same thing is happening all over again. But the United States military is sending a very strong signal and very strong warning. Earlier this month, a top U.S. military commander says that Russia's modern military is far more capable than that of the Soviet Union. And he issued a warning that we need to be aware of this, and we need to know that there is cause for concern. And the reason for that concern is that in retaliation for the United States getting involved in Ukraine, Russia has started to flex its military muscle. It has sent its submarines out to go along the United States coast and into the Caribbean. It has sent planes along the Alaskan coast and along the English Channel. It has put pressure on Poland, on Ukraine, and on other countries that have hinted that they want to move towards influence of the United States, so much so that Poland has been begging the United States to send anti-missile batteries to help protect it against a possible threat, because they said if Russia's going to do this in Crimea, what's to keep them from doing it here in Poland, because they've done it before. Now, at the same time, Paul, there is an increase in the rhetoric that is kind of scary, and again, reminds us earlier ways of the Soviet Union. The Russian president of the Academy of Geopolitical Problems outlined two geophysically weak U.S. regions to attack if they ever felt threatened by the United States. He said they should drop a nuclear weapon on Yellowstone National Park. Now, if you know anything about your geography, you know that the largest, by far, the largest volcano in North America sits only a few miles, not even, below the surface. And if a nuclear attack happened there, theoretically, scientists have said that you could spark an unbelievable volcanic eruption that could destroy a large part of the United States and put us into, you know, into terrible, terrible cataclysm. The other thing they said was you could bomb the San Andreas Fault, and that would not only cause problems in California, but it could cause huge tsunamis that could devastate the West Coast. This is not some hack. This is the president of the Academy of Geopolitical Problems in Russia making these kind of things public. And so we need to realize that there is a new situation in Russia, and we need to be praying that these things would have cold water poured on them.
Now, not only has Russia been active militarily and the rhetoric, as you just said, and when you brought up the whole thing about the Yellowstone thing. I was just reading about that a couple of days ago, about that big magma dome that sits just, again, a few miles below the surface. And you're right. If that were to ever explode, it could be cataclysmic. Russia has also, though, been very active economically. I see concerns in Europe because of natural gas and Russia trying to control Europe that way.
Well, Europe has a problem, and it's an ongoing problem in that they do not have great stores of oil and natural gas. They've got some, and fracking helps a little bit, but they get their energy supply from two dangerous partners, and that is Russia and the Arab OPEC alliance. And so they are in a very difficult position where they need the oil, they need the natural gas, but they also don't want to just kowtow to the Russians and to give in to the military threats in order to keep alive economically. And it has caused great difficulty for the nations of Europe with their, you know, I mean, if you ever go over there, the gas prices are unbelievable. I mean, like 5, 6, 7 times more than the United States just to fill up your car. That doesn't include heating oil and oil for engines and for industry and so forth. So it is a major issue again. And so that's also an issue for prayer.
And then what about recently, this week actually really came out, where there is a Canadian company that had large assets here in the United States mining uranium. And that company was sold a few years ago to a Russian company, which turned out to be a shell company under the control of Putin.
Yes, we have to be vigilant here in our nation. The same thing is happening with the Chinese purchasing all kinds of industry and property here in the United States. That could cause problems down the road. So I think we definitely need to have our leaders seeking the wisdom of God to know how do we keep ahead of all of these things.
Well, with that said, and that's a good transition right to prayer as we wrap up the show, because we need God's wisdom right now. So would you lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. Father, we come to you right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, first of all, there are many people who are listening to this program who hear these things and it causes them to fear. And I just pray, Lord, that you would give them peace that goes beyond understanding as they submit themselves to you, as they yield to you as their Lord and Savior, that they would say, I can only trust in the hand of God in these dangerous times. So, Lord, we just pray that those who would become fearful over these situations would seek you out as their Prince of Peace. And, Lord, we do pray for wisdom for our leaders and for the leaders of the world. Lord God, we pray that fear amongst these leaders of each other because of historic differences, philosophical differences, political differences, Lord, that those fears would be put aside and that we would find ways to come to understanding and walk together in unity for the good of all nations, Lord God. And we pray, Lord, that your church would rise up in this time, that we would pray for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, not only in the Middle East, but in other Muslim countries and other political countries like North Korea. Lord, that we would pray for their protection, and Lord, that we would pray that they would be comforted by your Holy Spirit. But Lord, ultimately, we just pray that your will would be done in the earth, and that your kingdom come, and that you would rule and reign as the Prince of Peace here on earth. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, Craig, thank you again for joining us this week, and we'll keep these items in prayer. Thank you again for your insights.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you, Paul.
That was journalist and author Dr. Craig Von Busek here on Faith Radio with Grace and Truth. We're here every week to talk about the news, but we're not doing it to scare you. I know some of the stuff we talked about is scary, but the reality is, as Craig has written about in a book he co-wrote with Wendy Griffith, we're supposed to pray the news, not to get scared, but remember, God's in control, and we're asking him, inviting him in to help us get the problem solved and to do his will. If you'd like to find out more about Praying the News and Grace and Truth, visit our show page at myfaithradio.com. Under programs, find Grace and Truth. You can listen to past broadcasts as well as read up about Craig's book called Praying the News. I'm Paul Perreault. Have a great week. And again, as you hear the news, don't be afraid. Instead, pray the news with Grace and Truth.